In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good on this feast of the Apostles Peter and Paul. Our outreach has a new beginning. In the liturgy today, between last night and today, the church prayed, O Peter, pray earnestly that the kingdom of Christ be open to those who honor your divine memory with faith. Such is the reason the church has assembled last night and this morning around the altar of the Lord. We are keeping the divine memory, the divine memory. It's not so much our memory, it's the divine memory. And we're keeping with faith of Peter and Paul, these two apostles who have rightly been called the pillars of the church, the foundation of the church. Another hymn for today's feast in our liturgy, the church says this, quote, by your intercession, O holy apostle, obtain remission of sins, enlightenment of heart, and joy in the spirit for those who celebrate your sacred memory. End of quote. Just reflect on those words and what's happening today. Those of us who have been keeping the memory of these saints between last night and today, and those of us who really try to enter into preparation by the fast, reflect on those words. By keeping Peter and Paul in memory, a sacred memory, our sins are being remitted. Our hearts, the noose, is being enlightened. And as we keep them in heart, in memory, we are receiving the joy of the Spirit. The joy of the Spirit. Today this church is filled with great joy, not a human joy. We don't create this joy. We don't bring about this joy. I don't go out and try to, I got to be joyful today. No. The Holy Spirit is bringing a great joy in the church. And what does she do in response? The church today is singing about the memory, the living memory of these great two apostles, the pillars of the church. Today's liturgy offers us three lessons. There are many others, but there are three lessons that we can reflect upon. The first lesson, and we don't have it this year, we'll have it next year, I'll buy one, is about the icon. Look at today's icon. You can go online and look at the icon of Peter and Paul on this feast day. There's two of them. There's two versions of this icon. In one icon, you'll find Peter and Paul embracing. If you looked at St. Basil, they had that icon. They're embracing in that fraternal embrace, the fraternal kiss, of which is very common in the Middle East, and St. Paul says in his own letters, greet each other with the fraternal Christian kiss. In another icon, you'll find Peter and Paul both standing together, and they're holding the church. They're holding the church. They're the pillars. They're holding up the church. In either case, in both of those icons, there's a similar lesson. The Christian tradition, going all the way back to the very beginning, there in the Acts of the Apostles, has seen both of these men, Peter and Paul, together. They were at the first council of the church together. And what are they doing? What were they doing at the council in Jerusalem, that first council? What do we see them doing throughout the Acts of the Apostles? They, the two of them particularly, are holding up the church. They're supporting the church. They're guiding the church. No one else in all of the New Testament, all of that New Testament from after John's Gospel, no one else but these two does the whole early church look to for guidance and direction. If you ever go to St. Peter's Square, there you'll stand. There you'll see standing the large statue of Peter and the large statue of Paul, right there in the heart of the great square of the Vatican. the lives of these two apostles. If you look at their lives, you read about their lives, you see witnessed the heart of Christianity and the heart of the gospel, and you see the heart of what the church is all about. Reconciliation and unity. Reconciliation and unity. Why? If you look at the lives of both of these men, they had their intense disagreements. They had a serious argument. And there were serious conflicts. And they also came from completely different backgrounds. There's no reason why these two men would have ever met and become friends in any way. Nevertheless, by the power of Christ and His Spirit, they found the new way of life, the new way of love. These two strong-willed men were given the power from on high to live out the commandment of selfless love, to put aside their differences and to seek reconciliation. In these two men, we saw that what was humanly impossible to do, their temperaments were not symbiotic, but what could not be done in a human level could be done in the power of God through the Christ and the Spirit. The lives of these two apostles reveal a divine truth, and they show us what the mission of the church is all about in the world. In Christ and by His Spirit, all divisions and all separations can be healed. Can be healed. In their lives, we see witnessed, and the church is going forth and doing what Christ prayed in His high priestly prayer in John 17, that they may be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I am in You. That's the first teaching we see in these two men. A second teaching in today's liturgy is found in the gospel for today's. While the Lord renamed Simon as Cephas or Peter, meaning the rock, let's remember that St. Peter was someone who hardly resembled a rock a lot of times. He was one who stumbled. Not only did he stumble, he tried to cause the Lord to stumble from His mission. Nonetheless, since apostolic times, the church calls Peter and sees him as a pillar. The same can be said about St. Paul, who was a murderer. He was a murderer, killing members of the church. The struggles found in the lives of both of these apostles, then we saw also continuing in the life of the church for 2,000 years. While we are called to put on the mind of Christ, to put on the noose of Christ, yet how often do we fall back into human thinking and human ways? That happened when Christ tried to persuade Peter, when Peter tried to persuade Christ from not going to Jerusalem. Peter at that moment was thinking as a human being, not in the godly way. When St. Paul sought to kill Christians, he had a letter to do it. In the name of Judaism, he was thinking in a human way and not in a godly way. At the time, at the Council of Jerusalem, there were those who were trying to force the Gentiles to adopt all the Jewish practices. So Paul went and he challenged the Bishop of Jerusalem, James, and said, "This is not of God." And Peter stood up and he agreed with Paul. They were thinking, some of these members of the church were thinking in a worldly, human way. The great struggle witnessed in the lives of Peter and Paul is a struggle that all of us will encounter and do encounter. The great struggle between disordered self-love versus the radical way of selfless love. Trying to always put God into our human box and to our human way of thinking versus allowing God to purify our own way of thinking and seeing and doing. And the final lesson learned from the day in the lives of Peter and Paul is never, ever, ever to give in to discouragement or worse, despair. No matter what the trial may be in your life, no matter how we may see the church in turmoil, or one's parish or outreach, or one's family, or in your own personal life, never, ever, ever give in to discouragement or despair. That is not of God. That's the devil. Both Peter and Paul fell many times from the grace of God, and sometimes they fell hard, but they never gave in to the sins of discouragement or despair. They never gave up. They took confidence in the words of Jesus the Christ, who today told Peter, and we all heard those words, "The gates of hell shall not prevail." And the prophet Jeremiah prophesied those very words in his own way some centuries before when he announced, quote, "Behold, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah," and they were evil kings in those days, "against his princes," because they were evil in those days, "and against those priests," because the priests in Judaism at this time were evil priests, and even the people of the land, so many of them had betrayed God. And Jeremiah said to the faithful remnant, "They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you." And Jeremiah quoting God, "Because I am with you, I the Lord will deliver you." End of quote. Thus, while the church and each baptized person will be assailed by those supernatural beings of the underworld we call demons and devils, nonetheless, to you and I and every person stays close to Christ by staying close to his body, the church. We don't abandon the church. Then you can be assured the words, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against you." Christ is among us. He is.